I'm at Clandon Wood, Surrey Hills Natural Burial, and it's just after an amazing event that took place on the weekend of the 21st and 22nd of June, which was the opening of the Glass Pavilion at Clandon Wood. And I've got one of the speakers here, and it's Barbara Chalmers, the founder of an online web portal called The Final Fling. Hello, good afternoon, Barbara.
Hi, Danny. Nice to see you.
Tell me about your website.
Well, it's the UK's first website for end-of-life planning, and I hope it'll help to revolutionise the way that we do death. And I sort of explain it to people that it's a little bit like Mum's Net is to birth, we hope that it can be to death. So when people are dealing with a specific life stage, they can come together, they can find information, become a little bit more informed about what's going on, what their options are, share their experience with other people. And it's about being an informed consumer, if you like, because I think sometimes we don't consider ourselves consumers around death and dying, but of course we are. And 97% of people at the moment don't shop around when they're faced with a death. They just, you know, they pick up the phone and get the local funeral director and that's it.
In your talk, you asked certain questions like who here has a will, who here is prepared.
It's always quite interesting to just check out with, you know, and I talk to lots of different kinds of audiences, and we had two different groups, I think, at the weekend, you know, a group of variously interested people and a group of families who have already had someone buried here or who've bought a plot here. So I was asking them what they, you know, do you have a will? Do you have a funeral plan? Do you have a power of attorney sorted out? They did quite well on the will, and that usually does, okay, you know, maybe about a quarter of people if you're very lucky. And the group I spoke to last week, they were lawyers and had no excuse, and I berated them heartily for that, because 70% of us die without a will and 90% without a funeral plan.
I have to confess, my husband, who's a lawyer, doesn't have a will.
There you go.
I know. It
proves my point.
Really. Exactly.
Yeah. And I think actually, in a way, powers of attorney are even more significant because, you know, that's when you are alive but no longer able to make decisions. And do you have someone that you can entrust your life with, actually, at that point? And we tend to not do these things. And it's an odd one because I think we now all have pension plans and probably have life insurance, and we do take care of our legal and financials in some aspects, but not so much around end of life. So,
but do you think it's just because we're naturally afraid of it?
Well, it's quite... One of the other speakers, Charles Cowling, who is, you know, the king of the death industry, he has been championing the cause for consumers for a really long time. But he sort of started off talking and saying that, you know, there may be this taboo around death, and we may fear that if you talk about it, it brings it on. And I know that in surveys about why people don't talk about death and dying, that is one of those factors that people think somehow you're tempting fate.
Yes. And do you think we're worse here than in other countries?
Definitely seems so. I mean, I haven't done rigorous research across different cultures, but, you know, I am aware of some different practices, and I think we are a little restrained, a little conservative, and maybe less able to express ourselves. We're not always very emotionally honest in some ways, and I think all of that ties in with making us a little less able to deal with it.
I think you're right. I think as children in this country, we're sort of brought up to not really talk about it very much. Yeah. I think that is changing, though, with people like yourself.
Definitely changing. And I was looking, you know, just checking out things online around taboo and how that is changing. And there's definitely a notion that, you know, the taboo itself is dying. Also, that it mostly just exists within the media and within medicine, where, you know, a death is actually a service failure, if you like. Also, you know, it's a kind of conversational unease that we use a lot of euphemisms. So we are talking about it, but we're not using the language of just actually saying death or just saying dying. We kind of soften it up around the edges.
You know, passed away.
Yeah, all of that. I think, you know, that sort of stiff upper lip that's the classic British and maybe more English. You know, I think that sort of thing's maybe going away a wee bit. And definitely, you know, this is the baby boomer era. We're all shuffling towards the front of the church, if you like.
Yes.
And in the next five years, 3.5 million baby boomers hit pension age. And so I think that will drive change in the industry. And I think it has to be consumer-led because, you know, funeral directors do a very important, very good job in our communities. they've kind of taken it away from women who used to do death in the community. It was much yes. more part of community.
Yeah.
And it's now a little bit hidden. It's a little bit tucked away. But I think the baby boomers, they're the Woodstock kids. You know, I think they're going to want to reclaim death.
Yes.
And there are a number of us, like Simon from Clandenwood, who are in the kind of vanguard of change, that are ready to say, do you want something else? Great.
Well,
you know, we're
people
to help.
I speak to all the time are now saying, oh, really? Can you do that? And yeah. very curious about Clandenwood and coming down.
And it was interesting this morning, because we've had a Quaker funeral here this morning at Clandenwood. And, you know, these are not, you wouldn't look at these people and go, oh, there goes the baby boomer generation. You know, these are ordinary, older people looking to do a nice spiritual thing for themselves and to mark somebody they've lost. And so it's very interesting to see. And we've had a number of people actually just dropping in, passing by the space, because there are signs up.
Yes.
And they just want to check it out. And, you know, so I don't think it's all going to be the long-haired shamanic celebrants that are coming here. I think it's going to be everybody,
I think you're absolutely right about that. Well, the mayor of Guildford, for instance.
Absolutely.
She was absolutely completely sold on the whole thing.
Yeah.
So on your website, for instance, what sort of things can people expect to see on there?
Well, what it really is a set of planning tools, because I think one of those things that comes up is people are always talking about, oh, that's the music I'd like at my funeral. In fact, if you look at Twitter, there's always somebody talking about funeral music. But if we don't record those things, then we're unlikely to have our wishes made.
That's
and
crazy.
So that's really the thing that I wanted to do, was provide planning tools, because you know, government's aware of ageing and growing population issues, and there's a bit of a time bomb going on around that.
For years, though.
Absolutely. And I think they're much more active now in encouraging, you know, saying to us, you have to think about this, you have to plan ahead. But there's no way to meet that call to action, if you like. So that's where I'm trying to step in and say, well, if you want to plan, you can make a will here, you can make an advance decision, you can record your wishes. And we also say, here are the 20 documents that you should store here for your next of kin that they will need access to. And it's all secure, so you can put on account, names, numbers, passwords, all of that stuff. I mean, the security is frustrating for me, of course, because it means I can't see anything. And I'd love to be able to see what it is that people do in their accounts, but of course I can't.
No.
So I've no idea what they do. So there's that legal and financial aspect.
Yeah.
And then the other aspect is the more personal, touchy-feely bit that I call a treasure trove within the site. There's a bit more memory box style, so you can go in there and you can leave messages, you know, you can leave life highlights that will help somebody else who might be compiling eulogy stuff for you. You can store digital legacies, so if you want to pass on, you know, I've got old home movies of my own and my parents, and I've got old photographs of mine and my parents and their
Okay.
You know, so it does quite quickly become who's in that photograph.
Yes.
Why is this significant?
Yeah.
So you can annotate those things, and you can also share them. So you can give a number of people access to your account, or give no one access.
That sounds such a great idea.
You have all the permission to say it.
I just wanted to ask you, what brought you into this?
What brought me into this? It was really just going to bad funerals. And, you know, when I say that, it's not like I'm a professional funeral goer. It's not even that I've had a tragic life and lots of deaths, but it was just one or two. And the first, one of the early funerals that I went to was my Auntie Nellie, who was actually my mum's aunt. And the officiant at that called her Helen, and I didn't even know that was her name. And I think that's a sort of classic thing that does happen. So you have some stranger delivering words that are not felt about some, you know, a stranger. I don't know, it's a really peculiar thing. And so that was the first time I'd come across that, and I thought, oh, wow, why do we do this?
Yeah.
Because she was such a lively woman. She was a travel agent in the 60s, and, you know, she was always buzzing about.
Things.
She was just great. And then it was this very flat, portrait of her life, and I thought, that's not good enough at the end of your life. And so then, further down the line, it was 2006, I was at another funeral, and again, just thought, man, this is dreadful. And I, you know, I've been very, I really live the life I want for myself, I always have done, and I'm like, and I will not go out in a mahogany box with brass handles and all that stuff, so, you know, and I thought, they have to do something about this. And whenever I catch myself saying they, I think, who's they? Do it yourself. So I bought the domain name Final Fling, and I didn't really know what I meant, but I just began to think about it, and over the course of a few years, it began to sort of form in my head, and I thought, oh, it's really about giving people lots of information, because it, despite the fact we have Google, which is, you know, great, there's so much information to try and filter through, and people do sort of still come across this with a short window, so to try and quickly filter through if they're planning a funeral now, or if they've got more time and they're thinking ahead, it's just pull all that information together and kind of make it easier for people, and then just plan your stuff. Here's where you plan it.
It's so, such a brilliant idea. I think it must help so many people as well.
Well, it's been so well received, you know, and I had braced myself when I launched it. Also,
what calling were you doing before?
I'm a communication strategist trade.
Okay.
So I've worked in the arts a lot and in local government in a kind of arts and economic development context. And then I set up a consultancy in 2009. So I've been working with government and a number of different people, and also leading and shaping arts projects. So it's a bit of an eclectic mix. So actually, it really serves all the things that I've done in my life. It sort of fits very well with, because, you know, when you're running a business on your own, you have to be able to do everything. You have to do your books, and you have to do your PR, and you have to do project managing.
Exactly.
So it's like, great, I've done all that stuff. So, yeah, it works well for me. I enjoy it.
So if people want to find you on the website, where do they find you?
It's finalfling.com, and then, you know, sign up for an account. It's free to have an account. It's free to access all the information. The only thing you pay for, it's £50 for a will. You can get free legal advice, you know, because I think often people get a bit stuck, just want to check something out. So we've got a partnership with a solicitors firm who work right across the UK. So although I have a Scottish accent, I'm not sure if anyone would notice that, but it's UK-wide will. And we've got a very interesting development on the go at the moment, where we've licensed the brand to a company in South Africa. Because obviously, although the, you know, internet is global, this is a UK service. So for many of the issues, they are, you know, they're just, they're global issues, death and dying.
Absolutely.
But for many of the ways that we do it, they're culturally specific and they're geographically specific. So yeah, we've got this arrangement with a company in South Africa who want to use it over there and customise it so that they can do a local will and provide local services. So it'll be quite interesting to see how that goes.
Lovely.
Very interesting. I'm most inspired, though, having spent the weekend here, to see how this all works. And with my partner Erin, we're now saying, I think we need to have a natural burial ground. Because this is the way to go.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's really an inspiring space. And I think, having heard Ken West, who is Mr. Natural Burial Ground, who, you know, launched the first one in the world, I think about 1993, he was here speaking at the weekend, and very inspiring man. And just hearing him talk about the sense of the ecology of a space like this, where you take a body and you put it in the earth, and it's such a natural process. It's good for us, it's good for the ground. You just think, why would you do anything else that interferes with that natural process? So, yeah, we'll be looking for, we'll be Googling land in Scotland when we go home.
To try and find something. Lovely. Well, I look forward to hearing you more, and I certainly look forward to seeing you again.
Great. It was lovely to meet you, Danny.
Thank you very much, Barbara.
Thanks. Thank you.
And that was Barbara Chalmers, the founder of the website The Final Fling. Radio.